Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Your mind is the greatest gift God has given you. And that's why today we continue with a brand new series called Rethinking Your Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the 9 biblical pillars we need to reshape our minds so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of this year's brand new Daily Hope Advent Calendar. It's beautiful. Just go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Learning to Think Like Jesus.
Now, in the Old Testament, Isaiah asked this question in Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who understands the mind of the Lord? Who understands the mind of the Lord? Well, in the New Testament, Paul answers that, saying, we can. We can understand the mind of the Lord because Christ knows the mind of God, and Christ now lives in us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, there at the top of your outline, we see this verse. Paul says, we can understand these things because now we have the mind of Christ. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that you have the mind of Christ? Well, it means that you can learn to think like Jesus. It means you can have the same thoughts. You can have the same attitudes. You can have the same reactions. This is God's goal for your life and my life, that we learn to become like Christ. And you can't become like Christ without learning to think like Christ. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. Now, what does that look like? Well, that's what I want us to look at this weekend. What does having the mind of Christ look like? I'm going to give you 10 characteristics of a person who thinks like Jesus. Now, we've got so many of these, we're going to go through them rapidly, but in the future, we're going to go into the details of each of these. Okay, so let's get right into it. If you're taking notes, when I learn to think like Jesus, when I have the mind of Christ, number one, I know exactly who I am. I know exactly who I am if I have the mind of Christ. I'm not confused about my identity. Why? Because Jesus certainly had no doubt about his identity. He had no fuzzy thinking about his identity. He knew exactly who he was. In fact, 18 times in the New Testament, Jesus defines himself to other people. Let me show you just a few of these verses. They're there on your outline. In John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. In John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. In John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. John 15:1, I am the true vine. Mark 10:61 and 62, I am the Son of God. Now that's just a few of the 18 definitions where Christ defines who he really is. He had no doubt about his identity. You know, today there are a lot of movies that portray Jesus as confused about his identity. That's pure fiction. He had no doubt as to who he was. Now, here's what's interesting. God wants you to know your true identity. And listen, only your Creator can tell you that. Nobody else can tell you your true identity because they didn't create you. Only God made you, and so only God can tell you what he created you for and who he created you to be. Now, why is this so important? Because if you don't know who God made you to be, you're going to fall into a number of different traps, several traps. You're going to waste your life. First, if you don't know who God made you to be, other people will force you into their mold. And they will decide for you. You'll be manipulated by the expectations of others. Maybe a boss, maybe a spouse, maybe a boyfriend. But you'll be manipulated and shaped by others. Or number two, you'll end up living a phony life. You're always pretending. You're always faking it. You're always wearing a mask because you don't really know who you are. Number three, confused identity creates stress in your life. And stress happens when you try to be something that you're not. So when I learn to think like Jesus and I have the mind of Christ, I know exactly who I am because Jesus knew exactly who he was and he created you. Now, let me give you another one. Second, I when I learn to think like Jesus, when I have the mind of Christ, I not only know who I am, I know God's purpose for my life. Why? Because Jesus knew the purpose for his life. He certainly knew exactly what he was called to do with his life, his vision, his purpose, his goals. They were crystal clear. In John 8, verse 14, Jesus says this, "I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going." Do you know that? Do you know where you came from? Do you know where you're going? Jesus settled his purpose very early in life. In fact, the Bible tells us that by age 12, he was already a purpose-driven young man at age 12. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus at age 12 had been left at the temple, and Mary and Joseph are returning to their hometown, and all of a sudden they realize he's not in either traveling party. And they go back to the temple to get him. They find him teaching the elders as a 12-year-old. And he says this, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" He knew his purpose at age 12. You know, I accepted my call to full-time Christian ministry when I was 12 years old. Young children can understand this at a lot earlier age than we think. And so my question to those of your parents is, are you preparing your kids for God's purpose for their lives, even at an early age? Now, of course, as Jesus' ministry expanded, he became more and more specific, announcing several very specific purposes for his life. One of them is John 10:10. You know this verse. John 10:10, Jesus says, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." That's knowing not only who he was, but knowing his purpose. In fact, even right up to Christ's death on the cross, Jesus' purpose was very clear. Look at this verse up here on the screen. In John 12:27, it says this, "The night before he was executed, Jesus said, 'My soul is deeply troubled right now.'" This is Jesus the night before he goes to the cross. "My soul's deeply troubled. So what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this purpose that I have come." So we see Jesus knew who he was and he knew his purpose. He wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know your purpose. You get that when you get the mind of Christ. Number three, when I have the mind of Christ, I'm always aware that God is with me. I not only know who I am, I know what my purpose is. I'm always aware that God is with me. Again, we see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus lived in the presence of God. He stayed connected to the favor of God. No matter how busy he was, he stayed in tune with the Father. He took time to get alone and pray. Look at these verses. John 16, verse 32. Jesus says, "I'm not alone because the Father is always with me." Do you know that the greatest antidote to loneliness is thinking like Jesus? That when you have the mind of Christ, you'll be able to say like him, "I'm not alone because I know the Father is always with me." If you feel lonely, if you feel alone, it's at that moment you're not living the mind of Christ. Jesus said, "I'm not alone. I know the Father's always with me." He was always aware of God's constant care. Now, how about you? How can you do that? How can you stay always aware of God's constant care? The answer, through prayer. Jesus made prayer a daily habit. And the reason why he knew God was always with him is because he was always talking to him. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to circle the word often. Jesus often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. Now notice that often, you know what that means? It means this is not like once in a lifetime. This is a habit. Jesus' prayer life was habitual. It was regular. It was continual. He often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. That's why he was always aware of God's presence. Now let me just ask you a very blunt question. How often do you slip away to pray during your day? Huh? How often do you slip away to pray during your day? Might your day go better if you develop that habit to slip away and pray during your day? I mean, if Jesus felt the need to slip away and pray during his day, how much do we need it? Let me summarize what I'm trying to say here. You miss the gifts of God when you fail to get with God. You miss the gifts of God when you fail to get with God. If I'm too busy for God, I'm out of God's will. I'm too busy. It is not God's will for me to be too busy for God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Fall is here now, and that means Christmas is right around the corner. That's why we wanted to let you know that Pastor Rick and his wife, Kay, created a brand new Advent calendar with specially commissioned custom artwork. It's beautiful. This two-part resource includes a calendar with a special door for every day of December that opens to reveal a hidden image and Bible verse. Use it with the companion daily devotional guide to help you and your family draw closer to Jesus and prepare your heart for the real celebration. The all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar will help you spend the holidays worshiping instead of worrying, slowing down and reconnecting with God, and expressing gratitude for the true meaning of the season. You'll want to get the all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar and devotional booklet in your hands now to start using it on December 1st. We'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift to support the ministry of Daily Hope. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Contact us today in order to get your copy in time for Advent. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
Hi, it's Pastor Rick with some big news. My daily devotional is now available in French. If you know somebody who would enjoy reading the devotionals in French, would you please email me and I'll send you a link to sign up. My email is rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
It is not God's will for me to be too busy for God. On the other hand, let me give you a little tip. You'll get more done here and there and everywhere if you pause between for prayer. Sandwich prayer between here, there, and everywhere. And when you sandwich prayer between those, you'll have more success in your life. You'll get more done. Now, we all need quiet times to reflect and to renew and to recharge. You know, it was Pascal, the famous French philosopher, who said, most of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. Can you sit still and be aware in prayer? Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. So when we look at the life of Christ, we know he knew who he was, he knew what his purpose was, and he was always aware of God's presence because he had the mind of Christ. When you get the mind of Christ, you'll have those things too, and you're always aware that God is with you. Now let me give you a fourth. When I have the mind of Christ, I let God help me choose my words. Would you write that down? When you have the mind of Christ, when you're thinking like Jesus, you do what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He let God help him choose his words. And Jesus says, I don't speak without thinking. I don't just run off at the mouth. I ask God to help me say the right words. Do you do that? Do you ask God to help you manage your mouth? Here's an amazing verse in John chapter 12, verse 49. Jesus says this, I have not spoken on my own. Instead, the Father who sent me tells me what I should say and how I should say it. Would you circle that? Instead, he said, I don't ever talk. When I speak, I don't speak of my own volition. He said, I say what the Father sent me to say. And I say, he told me what I should say. And not only told me what I should say, he told me how I should say it. Question, do you think you would have happier relationships if you let God the Father tell you what to say and how to say it? Undoubtedly. Would you have less conflict with other people in your life if you let God tell you what to say and how to say it? No doubt about it. Now listen, If you find your mouth frequently gets you into trouble, the antidote is to learn to think like Jesus. Put on the mind of Christ. Because Jesus says, when you have the mind of Christ, God tells you what to say and how to say it. All right? Number five, when I learn to think like Jesus and I have the mind of Christ, I don't worry about pleasing everyone. Now, this is going to be a big one because some of you are people pleasers and they dominate your life. They control your life. You're always worried about what will other people think. And because you're always worried about what other people think, you can't be what God wants you to be. But if you put on the mind of Christ, if you learn to think like Christ, which is what we're going to teach you how to do in this series, how to think like Christ, then you won't worry about pleasing everybody. Instead, like Jesus, you will only focus on pleasing God. See, Jesus was never manipulated by crowds or by the approval or the disapproval of anybody else. He lived for an audience of one. And when you have the mind of Christ, that's what you do. You live for an audience of one. You go, look at this verse. John 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I only try to please the one who sent me. Wouldn't that simplify life? If the reason why you're stressed out is you're trying to please everybody. About the time you get crowd A, please, crowd B gets ticked off at you. Jesus said, I only try to please the one who sent me. That simplifies life. If God likes what I'm doing the right thing. Now, obviously, Jesus did a good job because in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, God says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I love him and I'm well pleased with him. So obviously, Jesus was doing it right. Now, let me give you a little secret. And you already know this, but I want to just remind you. The truth is, you can't please everybody. Yeah, even God can't please everybody. Right now, somebody's praying for it to be sunny. Somebody's praying for it to rain. Somebody wants snow. Somebody doesn't want snow. Somebody wants their team to win. And on the other side ball field, the other team wants their side to win. Even God, they're both praying to God. Say, God, make my team win. You can't please everybody. You know, I'm acutely aware of the fact that I am always, every second of my life, disappointing somebody. Why? Because you can't please everybody. Now, Jesus said it in Luke chapter 16, verse 13. He says this, no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one, love the other. So you got to decide who you're going to live for. You're going to live for God's approval or other people's approval. You're going to live for what other people think or what God thinks. When you have the mind of Christ, listen, you will be so secure in your identity and in your purpose and in God's presence in your life, you won't need to look to other people for validation. When you're always looking for validation from other people, it means you don't really realize who you are, what God made you to do, and that he's always with you. Jesus never let approval, never let fear of rejection control him. You know, he said, I'm not out to win a popularity contest. In fact, at one point in the Bible, John chapter 8, I think it's verse 18, Jesus said he didn't need or he didn't depend on other people's opinions to validate himself. He goes, I don't need it to validate me. So let me ask you a very personal question. Whose approval are you depending on for your happiness? Whose approval are you depending on? Well, you know, I'd be happy if. The truth is nobody can pressure you without your permission. And so the fifth thing, I don't worry about pleasing others, is the result of learning to have the mind of Christ. Now let me give you the sixth mark of learning to think like Jesus, having the mind of Christ. This is a big one. I depend on God's power instead of my own. When I have the mind of Christ, I depend on God's power instead of my own. I don't know if you realize all the verses I'm sharing today are direct quotes of Jesus Christ. These are powerful words coming from our Savior himself, not about Christ, but they're actually the quotes of Jesus himself. And in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says this, I assure you that the Son can do nothing by himself. Jesus said, I can't do anything on my own. He said he can only do what he sees his Father doing. Now, if Jesus Christ was that dependent on God the Father's power, aren't you and I? He said, I don't do anything of myself. I don't do anything on my own power, of my own volition, of my own will, of my own initiative. I do what God wants me to do, and I just wait for the Father to tell me. So how do you know? How do you know if you're trying to do everything on your own human power alone? Well, it's real simple. You're tired all the time. And the reason you're tired all the time is because you're trying to do everything on your own power instead of doing it on God's power. Human energy runs out. Human power runs out. Well, look at this. Again, every one of these, I'm just giving you a quick overview because we're going to do an in-depth detailed study of each of these aspects of the mind of Christ. Let me give you the seventh. The seventh mark of having the mind of Christ is this. I forgive my enemies and those who hurt me. If you're going to learn to think like Jesus, you're going to have to learn to forgive your enemies and the people who've hurt you, those who've hurt you. This is a hallmark of Jesus Christ. It makes him different from every other leader and religious leader or otherwise in history. I mean, you know this, even on the cross, Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's hanging on the cross. He's in agony and pain. Blood is draining out of the life out of him. And while he's standing there, the very people who nailed him to the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's the mind of Christ. That's what it means to think like Jesus.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, fall is here, and that means Christmas is right around the corner. That's why we wanted to let you know that Pastor Rick and his wife Kay created a brand new Advent calendar with specially commissioned custom artwork. It's beautiful. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, friends, one of the most common questions that you hear this time of the year is, are you ready for Christmas? It's a question that shows how much preparation we think is necessary just to celebrate this holiday and this holy day. We think getting ready for Christmas means putting up decorations and buying and wrapping gifts and sending cards and planning meals and helping with school plays and church musicals and office parties, and the list goes on, making sure that we help all the people who are in need. But does doing all that really get us ready for Christmas? Will making it through a checklist prepare me for celebrating the birth of Jesus? We both know the answer is no. And we both know that it's too easy to get so caught up in doing too many things, many of them good things, but so many things that we forget the real reason for the season. So you know what? Here at Daily Hope, we've put together a brand new resource that I want you to have. I hope it will help you really get ready for celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's an Advent calendar, a calendar of preparation. And each day on this calendar, you'll open one Bible verse. And then you just turn to the corresponding page in a companion book that we've put together, and you read through the very short spiritual growth devotional. Now, it only takes a couple minutes to read the Bible verse and the devotional, but it's going to prepare your heart for the coming of Christ at Christmas. My hope is that this resource, this Advent calendar, will help you spend the holiday expressing your gratitude to God, worshiping instead of worrying, and taking things off your schedule so you can appreciate the true meaning of Christmas. I don't want you to miss the miracle of Jesus this Christmas.
You'll want to get the all-new Daily Hope Advent calendar and devotional booklet in your hands now to start using it on December 1st. And we'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift of support to the Ministry of Daily Hope. Contact us today in order to get your copy in time for Advent. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.